This is Party Line on WILO 1570 AM and 96.9 FM. At your side since 1960. This is your forum for public opinion and comment. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent the views of WILO management, employees, or sponsors. If you're listening live at 8:30, you're invited to give us a call locally at 765-659-3338 or toll-free at 1-800-447-4463. If you're listening to this program on our afternoon encore broadcast, don't call, just enjoy the show. Now let's join Party Line on 1570 AM and 96.9 FM WILO.
Good morning and welcome to Party Line. Our sponsors are Welty Custom Exteriors. Welty works for you. Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance. Like a good neighbor, Susan is there. Sparrow's Florist and Greenhouse. Encompass Credit Union, community-minded just like you. Miller Healthcare, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, along with the Clinton County Daily News.com. I am Ken, and I'm filling in for Kevin this morning. I'll be doing the show on my own this morning, so we're going to keep this an open line for the first half hour. So it'll be 659-333-1800-447-4463. If you have any questions, comments about everything that's going on, feel free to give us a call. At 9 o'clock, we're expecting Frankfort Street Superintendent Jason Forsythe, along with Frankfort Building Inspector Sam Payne. Those two will be our guests coming up at 9 o'clock this morning. Let's take a look at the forecast right off the top, because I think tomorrow morning you're going to wake up to something you haven't seen for a while and may not want to see again. Partly cloudy skies today, a high of 42. Tonight, a near 100% chance of rain and snow. Snow possibly mixed with some rain after midnight. Snow accumulation now of around an inch. They've had freezing rain this week. Now they're just calling this around an inch of snow for tonight. A low of 32. Tomorrow, the winds kick in and makes it even a little bit more dicier out. Mostly cloudy, a 50% chance of rain and snow throughout the day tomorrow, high of 38. Winds will start 5 to 15, but could gust as high as 25. Tomorrow night, colder, partly cloudy, a 30% chance of snow and a low of 22. Winds will be 10 to 15 with gusts as high as 30. And then on Saturday, mostly sunny skies, a high of 32. Winds again will be 5 to 15 with gusts as high as 25. So not exactly a fun look at the forecast, and really the 42-degree temperature is as high as it's going to be now for at least the next week. And after a dry weekend coming up on Monday, we've got a 30% chance of rain, possibly mixed with snow, 50% chance of snow Monday night, and then a 30% chance of rain, possibly mixed with snow again on Tuesday. So it's that time of year. We're going to be looking at a lot of different type of forecasts, so you can keep it tuned right here to AM 1570 and 96.9 FM and WILO. I need a couple other things I need to bring up to you. Number one, the Bid and Save radio auction we're having is coming up on the 17th. That's a week from this coming Saturday. It'll start at 9 a.m. We've got discount certificates for Kokomo businesses, Lafayette businesses, Frankfort businesses, and other locations. The auction will be heard in its entirety on WILO AM 1570 AM, 96.9 FM. And along with, please listen to live updates throughout the morning on Shine 99. You can call us to place your bid, or you can order it online. Some of the items we're going to have for sale at this thing, we're going to have some Arby's. We'll have some Bridie's Bakery. We're going to have a new item from Greek's Pizzeria supposed to be with us, along with Hoop's Restaurant. New item from Moxie's Maven here in town. That'll be on the list, along with Pepe's Mexican Restaurant. Pizza King from here, it's a new one that's also supposed to be with us this time through. Soundcheck from Lafayette is on there. Stillwell's Refinishing from Frankfort, it's a new one also will be here. We'll have a trailer from TC Trailers out in Michigan Town, and a new thing from Whiskey Rose Boutique, just some of the items that's going to be on this auction coming up next Saturday. You can go to the www.thebargainman.com or go to www.thebargainlady.com. More details about each item. This is going to update quite frequently, so I suggest you look up there quite frequently for the items coming up on the Bid and Save radio auction coming up on November the 17th at 9 a.m. here on AM 1570 and 96.9 FM WILO. A couple local notes of news from yesterday. Clinton County Sheriff Rich Kelly has announced that the new chief deputy who will be taking over the first of the year is a member of the current member of the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department. That's Todd Lappin. Lappin is a 20-plus year member of the IMPD and is a 1985 graduate of Frankfort High School. And also, of course, Rich is a Frankfort High School graduate also. Lappin has a master's degree in Homeland Security Management Terrorism, has previously served as a detective supervisor in homicide operations and sex crimes for Indianapolis over the last 17 years. According to Kelly, Lappin has expertise in the areas of crime and case investigation, data analysis, data center management, program coordination, leadership, program implementation, community relations, community education, facilitation, homeland security, and policy creation and implementation, and he brings a plethora of knowledge and special skills. That's going to be vital in expanding the foundation of the Clinton County Sheriff's Department and serving the citizens of the community. So Todd Lappin will be the new chief deputy for the Sheriff's Department at the beginning of this next year when Rich Kelly takes over. Also, some very good news for road paving here in the area, as Governor Eric Holcomb and NDOT Commissioner Joe McGinnis both announced yesterday that a total of 283 Indiana cities, towns, and counties have received a combined $100 million in state matching funds for local road projects through the Next Level Roads Community Crossings Initiative. We'll be talking to Jason Forsyth about that after the hour, top of the hour here at 9 o'clock. Clinton County got awarded almost $780,000. As far as the cities and towns are concerned, Frankfort got just a little bit less than $457,000. Michigan Town a little bit under $335,000. Mulberry got almost $173,000. Kirkland just a little over $105,000. And Colfax got $75,000. Another thing that helps for next year is that NDOT's going to be making it more convenient for local communities to pursue community crossings grants by offering two calls for projects per year. So that's just some of the things that are happening. And as I said, we'll be discussing the street, the community crossings thing with Jason Forsyth at the top of the hour. Found this morning, and we were just talking about lots of things, especially after the post-election type stuff, and it says, while Illinois voters chose the state's next leaders on Tuesday. By the way, they're all Democrats this time through. There are no Republicans on there this time through in Illinois. Bicentennial voters in the state are going to have until midday tomorrow to choose the state's best leaders of the past. The poll at IllinoisTop200.com this week is for the state's best leaders for the past 200 years. Some of those people on that list are Abraham Lincoln, Barack Obama, Ronald Reagan, Hillary Clinton, and more are all on that list for the top 200 leaders in the state of Illinois. That just sounds kind of interesting. I'm going to have to go take a peek at that and see what's what all is in that. Anybody wants to talk about anything, 659-3338 and 1-800-447-4463 are the numbers, so give us a call, and we'll knock things around for about the next 20 minutes or so. Of course, I'm sure most of you already heard there was a horrid shooting out in Thousand Oaks, California overnight. As the Southern California Sheriff says, there's, quote, blood everywhere at a country dance hall where 13 people were killed in a mass shooting last night. The Borderline Bar and Grill in Thousand Oaks was hosting an event and reportedly packed with hundreds of college students when shots rang out before midnight. Eyewitness accounts say the shooter was dressed in black and wearing a trench coat and that he tossed a smoke grenade into the bar before opening fire with a handgun. Ventura County Sheriff Jeff Dean says inside the bar broke windows to escape the gunfire, and some hit in the attic and in restroom. Shots were still being fired when officers arrived on the scene. At least, as we said, 13 people we know have killed, that includes the gunman, and over a dozen others injured. Among the dead is Sergeant Ron Hellis, a longtime member of the Ventura County Sheriff's Department. So another tragic shooting, and probably another worthless, meaningless shooting at a bar out in Southern California where 13 people lost their lives and dozens others are injured. So I'll try and get over to go from there to some politics. I don't know if that's a good segue or not, but hey, what the heck. Still a number of congressional races that are still too close to call. In the U.S. Senate, no winner's been declared in Arizona and in Florida. In addition, the race for a special election Senate seat in Mississippi is heading to a November 27th runoff election. The one governor's race for no winner yet is in Georgia, where Republican Brian Kemp is likely to win the vote total, but must exceed 50% to avoid a runoff election. And I think he's not very far from having to do that. Let's see here. Oh, yeah, here's what I want to get to. For the first time in more than a decade, less than a majority of Americans say crime is a very or extremely serious problem. Gallup poll released on Wednesday said 49% thought it was a very or extremely serious problem, but that number is down 10% from where it was a year ago. Half the Americans surveyed said crime is a moderate or a not at all serious problem. It was the first time the top number had dropped below 50% since 2004, and that's a very interesting situation because most people now think it's probably Medicare and health care for that matter. Being dead hasn't stopped some celebrities from raking in the cash. Michael Jackson tops this year's list of Forbes' highest paid dead celebrities. And I said on my show this morning, I didn't know this list even existed. Jackson's estate has earned nearly $400 million from the sale of EMI Publishing stake, as well as a Sony record deal and a Halloween TV special. Other celebrities on the list include Elvis Presley with $40 million, Golfer Arnold Palmer had $35 million, and Bob Marley, who's still around, I mean, after all these years, he had $23 million. I think Bob Marlin died in 1972. That's why I'm just saying it's still amazing that he's still that highly thought of. Medicaid expansion is coming for people in a number of states. After ballot measures and Democratic candidates were winners on Tuesday, at least four states and possibly more appear to be moving to join the 33 that have already expanded Medicaid eligibility through Obamacare. Expansion ballot measures are winning in Idaho, Nebraska, and Utah. A win by Maine Democratic Governor Janet Mills should clear the way for expansion there. Voters in Maine approved Medicaid expansion last year, but outgoing Republican Governor Paul LePage was refused to put it into effect. A similar story is playing out in Wisconsin, where Republican governor and Medicaid opponent Scott Walker lost his reelection. But that was probably the biggest shock of the day, was Scott Walker did not win his reelection. That just kind of very surprising. Insurance company Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Alabama is going to stop covering oxycodone next year, starting January 1st. There will instead be coverage for a type of oxycodone called Roxybond that the FDA says is an abuse deterrent, and Lucemyra, which is the first non-opioid-approved drug to treat symptoms of opioid withdrawal. The changes are being implemented to help fight the opioid addiction. Well, if they work, that's fine, but we'll see what happens on that one. This one I find incredibly interesting, and I really wasn't sure because I have not looked at it that close, but I'm going to see if I can digest this a little bit. A new study says raising taxes on meat could save hundreds of thousands of lives and dramatically cut down on health care costs. Researchers from Oxford University in the United Kingdom found that around 220,000 deaths can be prevented and over $40 billion in health care costs can be saved by hiking up meat prices or meat taxes in more than 100 countries. It's because meat consumption is linked to an increased risk of diabetes, stroke, cancer, and heart disease. In the U.S., red meat would cost around 30% more, and processed meat would cost around 160% more. I guess, you know, they're going to get you one way or the other regardless. That's just not a good situation, no matter how you do it. And, of course, I'm sure you've heard by now that Attorney General Jeff Sessions is out. He submitted a resignation letter that was accepted by President Trump yesterday. Sessions' letter notes that he resigned at Trump's request. Trump has been highly critical of Sessions since the Attorney General recused himself from the Russia investigation. Trump is replacing the Attorney General as Sessions' chief of staff. Trump tweeted that Matthew Whitaker will become acting Attorney General, bypassing Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. So that's also happening today. Also, this is really interesting, and I don't know why this story even popped up, but pot stocks, we're talking about marijuana, are soaring sky high, naturally, after the firing of Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Shares of Canadian marijuana company Tilray went up 30% after news that Sessions was out. Other publicly traded pot companies such as Canopy Growth and Aurora Cannabis have had their stocks lifted more than 8%. Sessions had promised to roll back Obama-era policies that allowed states to get their own rules on weed. Marijuana companies were also enjoying a boost because Michigan voters approved a measure legalizing recreational pot. The one that failed in North Dakota Tuesday would fail 59-41. They were going to go ahead and legalize, but also they were not going to be able to expunge, you know, there was a proviso that they would not be able to expunge that from the records. So that's why they did not pass that. As we talked about Jeff Sessions, he was reportedly eyeing his old Senate seat. Multiple reports say Sessions was considering running for Alabama's seat that he held for 20 years before joining the Trump administration. That seat is currently being held by Democrat Doug Jones, who won Sessions' seat after a hard-fought special election against Republican Roy Moore. Jones will be up for re-election in 2020. Sessions was fired by Trump on Wednesday. This one you wouldn't think too much about, but it's kind of interesting now because it seems like this is the way of sort of things are headed. Voting patterns for key religious groups aren't changing much at the polls. A new Pew Research Center report shows that 3 out of 4 white people who identified as evangelical or born-again Christian voted Republican candidates in this election. That's in line with past polls. Protestants tended to vote Republican, though by a smaller margin. The split was near even among Catholics. Jewish poll respondents and a number of other faiths skewed heavily towards Democrats, as well as people who didn't have a religious affiliation. So that's still out there. I don't know if I want to believe this or not. It's hard to believe the president when he says something like this, but we'll just put it out there for you. President Trump says he has never used a racist remark. In a White House news conference yesterday, Trump refuted allegations from his former lawyer, Michael Cohen. Trump has also had a testy exchange with a black reporter who asked him if there is a link between nationalism, white nationalism, and hate crimes. He said that's such a racist question. Trump has been calling himself a nationalist because he loves America. He also condemned hate crimes, and it's a problem the U.S. will have to solve. Totally agree on the last statement, but I don't know about the difference in the between nationalism and white nationalism. That's going to be something that's going to have to be discussed at some point in time. President Trump is cheering the midterm election results in a White House news conference on yesterday. Trump said it was very close to a complete victory for Republicans. You know, the Republicans boosted their majority in the Senate, and he patted himself on the back for helping some key Republicans over the finish line. Democrats regained control of the House, but Trump argued that Democratic gains will fail below expectations. Dems also picked up several governorships in the states that might have been run by Republicans. Trump cheered GOP wins in governor's races in Ohio, Iowa, and Florida. He also praised the campaign work of Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and House Democratic Leader Nancy Pelosi. Pelosi is expected to be the new Speaker of the House next year. Trump said there's a good chance that he will get along very well with Democrats in the new Congress. He cited infrastructure as an example of an issue that could prompt some bipartisan cooperation. Let's hope there's some cooperation amongst Philip on both sides of the hallway. It would be great if that were to happen. However, this, you know, what we just said doesn't come without a little side effect of that. President Trump is threatening to adopt a, quote, warlike posture, unquote, if House Democrats get too aggressive investigating him and his administration. I knew there was a caveat here. There always is. Speaking at the White House yesterday, Trump said two can play that game as he talked about, quote, investigation fatigue, unquote. Democrats regained control of the House in the midterm elections while Republicans boosted their majority in the Senate. Trump said Republican-controlled Senate and the investigations alleged wrongdoing by the Democrats. The president can influence the Senate but does not control the Senate agenda. Trump also said there's room for bipartisan cooperation in areas like infrastructure. Meantime, Trump has not given up efforts to get full funding for a massive border wall. He said many Democrats understand the need for the wall. And as we talked about yesterday, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with that border wall now, especially when the majority of that caravan from Central America is now camping out in Mexico City right now as we speak, and they're trying to decide what they're going to do next. So that's going to be a very interesting topic to follow. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says voters like divided government. That's what we got right now. Republicans boost their majority in the Senate by knocking out some red state Democrats in the midterm elections. Democrats regain control of the House. In a Capitol briefing yesterday, McConnell said there is room for bipartisan cooperation on the divided Congress. McConnell thanked President Trump for his help on the campaign trail. He said the controversy over Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh was, quote, an adrenaline shot, unquote, for the Republican base and very helpful. Kavanaugh was eventually confirmed to the high court. Everything I've read on the Kavanaugh situation, that's been the focal point of why the Republicans sort of rallied from the depths of the early part of that midterm election and got back on track. So that's what they're kind of pointing to. This is very disturbing, even though I'm not a fan of the person that this gentleman went after. But an Arkansas man is in jail, accused of making death threats against CNN anchor Don Lemon. Authorities arrested Benjamin Craig Matthews of Mountain Home, Arkansas, on Election Day. He's charged with felony terroristic threatening and harassing communications. Authorities say he made more than 40 threatening calls to CNN headquarters in Atlanta. In some calls, he allegedly threatened to kill Lemon, who is based in New York City. Investigators say the call started on October the 31st and continued for several days. If anybody is interested in bringing up a conversation topic, 659-3338, 1-800-447-4463 are the numbers. At the top of the hour, we'll be talking with Frankfort Street Superintendent Jason Forsyth and Frankfort Building Inspector Sam Payne. And on tomorrow's show, we're going to have Jason Wells for the first part of the show. And then at 9 o'clock, we're going to have Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes on, and we'll have talking about a lot of different topics tomorrow and a lot of very good stuff that has come out of the news this week. Acting Attorney General Matthew Whitaker will now oversee the Russian investigation, taking it out of the hands of Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. Whitaker criticized the investigation of Special Counsel Robert Mueller in August. He said Mueller's probe was dangerously close to crossing a so-called red line on investigating the Trump's family finances. President Trump tapped Whitaker to replace Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who resigned at Trump's request. Whitaker was Sessions' chief of staff. So that's something else we're going to do. I'm going to be very interested to see what this looks like and how this actually works. As Samsung is betting that consumers will want even bigger cell phone screens and has found a way to deliver that. The South Korean tech giant showed off a new phone with a foldable screen at a developers conference in San Francisco on Wednesday. Screen size doubles to almost the width of a tablet with a 7.3-inch display when it's open, but is also the size of a typical phone when it's folded. It is hoping that developers can create apps to take advantage of the additional space. The company did not say when the phone would be released or how much it would cost. The reason they're doing this is because the price of their new phones have not been doing very well at all. Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer says the timing of Attorney General Jeff Sessions' resignation is suspect, unquote. Sessions said he resigned yesterday at the request of President Trump. Schumer warned that any attempt to get rid of Special Counsel Robert Mueller could prompt a constitutional crisis. He argued that it is urgently important to protect Mueller's Russian investigation from interference. Trump often calls the Russian probe a witch hunt. Trump tweeted that Matthew Waller will become the acting attorney general, bypassing Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. Rosenstein oversees Mueller's work, and Whitaker will assume that role. Whitaker has been publicly critical of Mueller's probe, and Trump has vowed to nominate a new attorney general in due time. Of course, today is the 312th day of the year, which means there's only 53 days left in this year. Where has this year gone? This year has flat out flown. But on this day in history, got lots of little things here. So, 1789, bourbon whiskey was first distilled from corn by Reverend Elijah Craig in Bourbon County, Kentucky. Question, why were the reverends and why were all the religious people, or why were they always one that first distilled, distilled something like bourbon whiskey from corn? Why were they always ones that had their hands in the alcohol side of things? Just something to think about. 1805, Lewis and Clark reached the Pacific Ocean. Having been up in North Dakota, happened to go along the river where they crossed early in their, when they went out to the first one out to the Pacific Northwest. That's quite a sight out there, by the way. 1889, Montana became the 41st state of the Union. 1956, the movie The Ten Commandments was released. 1956, the Ford Motor Company decided to name their new car Edsel after Henry Ford's only son. 1960, John F. Kennedy defeated Richard Nixon in the run for the office of the President of the United States. 1962, Lucille Ball bought out ex-husband Desi Arnaz's stake in Desilu Studios for more than $2 million. The deal made her the highest-ranking woman television executive. 1965, the soap opera The Days of Our Lives debuted on NBC. 1966, Ronald Reagan was elected governor of California. In 1978, painter-illustrator Norman Rockwell died at the age of 84. He painted 317 covers for the Saturday Evening Post. 1988, Vice President George Bush defeated Massachusetts Governor Michael Dukakis to win the presidential election. 1984, Marion Barry was reelected mayor of Washington, D.C., nearly 4 years after spending 6 months in prison on cocaine charges. That should tell you something a little bit about D.C., that the mayor of D.C. can get reelected after he's been in prison on cocaine charges. This does not make any sense. 2006, U.S. Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld resigned from his position. 2015, Donald Trump's Saturday Night Live hosting gig had the show's biggest rating since 2012. The show included a guest appearance by Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton. And in 2016, Republican Donald Trump was elected as the 45th president of the United States over Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton. So that's just some of the things that's taken place on this date in history. I want to reach across the table here for a second. I want to try and get a couple of things here. There I go, what I'm looking for. Let's see. Also, we need to mention the fact that the Friends of the Frankfurt Library are having their 38th annual fine art exhibition and sale. It's called Ebb and Flow. It goes Friday through Sunday at the Frankfurt Community Public Library. The exhibit showcases over 80 local and regional artists in a variety of mediums. The opening reception is Friday from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. The show's open to the public on Saturday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday from 1 to 5 p.m. Harvest Chapel Church here in town at 952 North Harrison is having a soup supper and bake sale. on Friday, November the 16th, 4:00 p.m. at the Neighborhood Center. This is going to be a free will benefit to raise funds to buy lift chairs for veterans for the Veterans Home in Lafayette. And for more information, you can call 765-601-1896. Psi Beta Psi is having its holiday boutique on Saturday, November the 17th, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the Tipton 4-H building. That's at 1200 South Main Street down in Tipton. Admission is $2, and kids 10 and under are free. It's going to be a food and drink along with gifts, chicken and noodle lunch from 11 to 1:38 p.m. And photographer, the Christmas backdrop, and go see Santa. First 150 shoppers get a free tote bag. And I think there's one other thing in here. Yeah, I wanted to mention this. Holiday Festival Lights at TPA Park are going to run from 6 to 9 p.m. nightly from November 23rd until January the 1st. Santa's going to make his appearance on December 1st when Santa comes to town after the Christmas parade, which starts at 3 p.m., by the way. That starts at 3 p.m. on the 1st of December. For more information, you can contact the Parks Department at 659-3422. Okay, we're going to take a break right now and get ready for our guests to come on in. Our sponsors are Welty Custom Exteriors, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Sparrow's Florist and Greenhouse, Encompass Credit Union, Milner Healthcare, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, along with ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. We'll be right back.
This is Party Line, on the air for over 60 years on WILO, Frankfort, Indiana, USA, a Casper Media station.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one resource for information as you need it right at your fingertips. We have news, weather, sports, obituaries, the WILO program schedule, over 40,000 community photos, online surveys, community events, and WILO TV archives. Plus, click on the info tab to find out how you can contact your local and state representatives. Find out what the buzz is all about. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
State Farm agents are one of a kind. They understand insurance and share a genuine concern for others. State Farm agent Susan Casper works very hard every day to help people find the right products for their insurance and financial needs. From homeowners and renters to retirement planning, please call Susan Casper today to talk about which products are best for you. Get to a better state. State Farm.
At Encompass Credit Union, we provide a list of financial services, from online and mobile banking technology to easy-to-apply online loan applications. We offer credit cards and loans at competitive rates, so stop by or give us a call. We can tell you all about the services we offer. We're an equal housing lender. Encompass Credit Union, community-minded just like you. Federally insured by NCUA, online at EncompassCU.org.
Community-minded, just like you.
At Milner Community Healthcare, we're blessed to be a part of restoring people's lives every day. From our loving and dedicated nursing team to our highly skilled therapist, Milner is your place for short-term rehabilitation. We treat a wide range of conditions using clinical programs proven to get the best results. Our goal is the same as yours, to get you back to good health and home as quickly as possible. Make the right choice for your recovery. Choose Milner Community Healthcare.
Let's get back to Party Line. If there's something on your mind or you have a question for our guest, call us toll-free at 1-800-447-4463 or locally 659-3338. Now let's rejoin Party Line on WILO AM and FM.
Welcome back to Party Line. Our sponsors are Welty Custom Exteriors, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Sparrow's Florist and Greenhouse, Encompass Credit Union, Milner Healthcare, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, and ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.